And coming around the corner at you straight away on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, if you're not listening on the archives, is the July 29th, 2019 edition of Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. That's a couple hours or more with me, and probably a longer flashback. I'm in a kind of a wasteland of material these days, but hopefully things will get richer. There's going to be an interview with Mayor Martine Watkins that I did on Friday the 26th, 27th actually, and also a report from Los Angeles from Peggy Kennedy of the Venice Justice Committee, I think it's called, on the city's attempt to criminalize people living in their vehicles. Not good news, but news we should know. She's wanting people to write in to the L.A. City Council or email them, telling them don't do it. And she'll be talking about that. Plus, interviews, as usual, galore with different folks scattered about the sidewalks in the town. So don't go away, and you'll hear it all.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So I'm going to begin the show with the Watkins interview for Free Radio, which had been scheduled for many, many months ago, but I got sick, she got busy. It was delayed until last Friday. To give some background, well, if you've been listening to my show with any regularity or even irregularity, you'll know my general criticism of Mayor Watkins, most particularly around her removing from the agenda or refusing to put on the agenda important items proposed by Councilmember Glover and supported by two other council members. And so one would think something that would be required to go on the agenda, which was my previous thought. Turns out there is no such requirement in set in stone, that there is this extremely arbitrary power that the mayor is exercising. I don't know that she even has it written anywhere. It may be. I think it probably is, as a matter of fact, to essentially decide which items go on the agenda and when and where, and essentially to delay items for as long as she wants until she's forced to put them on the agenda by a vote at the council at a previous council meeting, which has been done a couple of times, but she's also been attempting to obstruct that as well by moving the agenda item where you do that. That is, say, you say, we are demanding this item be on the next agenda. You can't actually put an item on the agenda unless it's an emergency item for vote on the same day. That requires instead, according to the Brown Act, which is the act that essentially allows the public adequate notice of what's on the agenda so they can know whether to come to the meeting, have input into it, and theoretically have a voice in the councils of the city, which, of course, in actuality, they don't, really, has been my experience, unless they're well-heeled, friends with the staff, friends with council members, or in large numbers, usually are the some of the requirements. If you meet any of those requirements, you may get a listen. So recently there has been a recall petition circulating to recall council members Glover and Crone, whom I'm, you know, I'm not the most ardent fans of either of them, to the exclusion of every, you know, to the inclusion of everything they do. But I recognize that the motivation for this recall has to do with people who don't like rent control, even though the council hasn't been voting for rent control or even just eviction protection or even any kind of expedited process for getting information from landlords about all their woes and troubles that supposedly justify these exorbitant rents, although there is something coming up on the first council meeting in August, which is the second Tuesday in August, for those who are interested. But what's coming up is not going to be any data that we're going to get, or not even a determination of data necessarily, but rather a discussion of different methods of getting data. Although I haven't seen the agenda, it hasn't been published yet. In fact, I guess we have, theoretically we have until August 1st, we being the community, to get a council member, or two or three, to present to the mayor staff reports for, that is say, proposals for items to go on the agenda for the first council meeting in August. You have to do this 2 weeks before the council meeting, ridiculously enough in my view, and you'll hear Mayor Watkins defending this process. She's quite labile, which means she talks freely and easily, and she's quite the chatterbox, in fact, I would say. You can judge for yourself how much substance what she has to say has, and I will be allowing, I guess I'm going to play 5 minutes of her and then 5 minutes of my responses, because I don't really respond much other than simply keep asking questions. That's my my modus operandi, my method of proceeding with her. But before I do that, I'm going to read to you this flyer, which has to do with that recall, but it also has to do with Watkins, the mayor. The flyer reads, "Resist and reject the recall. Strongly and clearly reject mayoral bullying." And this is significant because one of the things Watkins has accused Glover of doing is bullying her, because Glover has pointed out that she has declined to put items on the agenda that Crone, he, and Brown have put forward in a reasonable amount of time. They've been essentially stalled because of what she says are previous items that have to go or stuff that's priority for her. But in fact, what we have is a council majority of four, Crone, Glover, Cummings on occasion, and Brown, against the minority of three, Watkins, Myers, and Matthews. And they are acting as though they're the majority and can then set the agenda and sideline the issues that the majority wants. And that's being done in a variety of ways, both through delaying items on the agenda, through moving the whole, forcing the agenda process to the very beginning of the agenda so it can't have the benefit of seeing what's been going on throughout the meeting. And then when we see that items are not being allowed or discussed or referenced or the staff being told to do anything around them, then members of the city council can demand the mayor, require the mayor, put the items on the next agenda. But if you put this at the beginning of the agenda, you don't have the benefit of the entire meeting to observe what's going on. Instead, you have to make an immediate decision the minute you walk in the room or soon after. And that's something that Watkins did the last meeting in June for the first time, arbitrarily, without any council vote on it. And I would say, but perhaps as a consequence, I don't remember that any items were forced on the agenda for the next agenda, which will be the second Tuesday in August. Important items like the right to form campgrounds, which are desperately needed as the city police break up encampments around the city that homeless people themselves set up but provide no alternatives. And you have this phony shelter situation where there's shelter for a pittance, a fraction of homeless people, and lies about the general situation, even to the court, by people like Susie O'Hara, who, as I've said before, acts sort of as the eighth council member in these situations and is treated with a kind of deference that I regard as ludicrous. But anyway, this flyer reads as follows. With the eight Ross Camp porta potties gone, citywide neighborhood access is less than a third of what it was to bathroom facilities. The failure of city council to locate campgrounds and safe parking zones, as well as the closing of Ross Camp without adequate replacement shelter, has intensified the emergency. Loudoun Nelson remains closed to the community, the bathrooms. With the continuation of the homeless policy announced at the Parks and Recreation Department on July 8th. Council members have failed to press votes requiring Mayor Watkins to put these health and dignity issues back on the agenda, campgrounds, bathrooms, safe parking zones, in meeting after meeting. Her promises are worthless. No protest was made at the June 26th meeting to Watkins' new unilateral move to force, and I was talking about this before, the agenda scheduling time early, rush past it, and limit consent agenda time for council members. Those are actually three things she did. I mentioned one of them, which is that she rescheduled this period of time when council members can require the mayor to put something on the next agenda. She put that at the beginning of the city council meeting, where it's normally at the end. And I explained why that disadvantages those who want to require the mayor to do something, because they have to make that decision very early in the meeting without the benefit of observing the whole meeting and listening to the public comment from the meeting. Rushing past it, even though in the face of having this whole business move to the beginning of the agenda, Watkins essentially took no time and essentially didn't really give the council members any opportunity to do anything about the scheduling, but simply dashed past it. And she moved immediately on to the next agenda item. That was what I observed as I listened to it on TV or on the computer. And then finally, she unilaterally decided that the amount of time that council members can talk about consent agenda items would be limited. Now, normally, I would be very happy to see both the staff and council members required to limit their gab on items. But this is a partisan move by Watkins, who doesn't like the fact that council members whose ideology or programs she opposes are bringing up issues. She doesn't want the time taken up with this stuff. And so she has simply decreed herself that there'll be a limit on the time. I mean, it's arbitrary, it's authoritarian, it's biased, and it essentially enforces a minority view. Instead, council has gone on vacation, with those supporting the Matthews-Watkins faction initiating a variety of anti-homeless, recall the progressives, and bury the library meetings. And these are meetings by groups that either want to recall council members Glover and Crone, want to push Matthews' plan to dredge up the zombie proposal of burying the library under a five-story parking garage, which supplants the farmer's market at its current location, and continues the anti-homeless policies of Mills and the head of the Parks and Rec Department, Tony Elliott. The flyer continues. Chief Mills' police department sweeps away visible homeless survival camps with no adequate shelter available for the majority of unhoused folks. Data about the impact of these health and safety damaging raids continues to be hidden without visible protest by council members. This changed in the last week or two, when finally the police department revealed some of the information to council member Glover, who passed it on to some of us in the community who have been asking for it for months. However, the information, which essentially goes to the issue of are homeless people either being unfairly impacted by police enforcement policies, or are they being even deliberately targeted by police enforcement policies? The city's analysis of this has not been given yet, and I'm not waiting for it breathlessly either. But the actual data is limited. You don't get to see the addresses of the people the police are ticketing or harassing, depending on whether you think that being in an area after dark that's supposedly closed, because as they're closing all parks, the Poganip, the City Hall, the library grounds, and various other areas that had previously been open to the public 24 hours a day, if you think that being in those areas is a crime, then you can see a crime wave happening. Of course, people sleeping at night who are homeless was also regarded as a crime wave until the courts said, no. You can't harass someone for sleeping if you have no place for them to go. We all have to sleep. And so the police department said, damn, how can we get rid of those homeless people? Oh, we'll give them tickets for something else. We'll give them tickets for sleeping in the park. We'll give them tickets for sleeping on the sidewalk and blocking the sidewalk. We'll give them tickets for trespass. And so the issue here has become, you've got to look at these tickets and see what the address of each person who gets it is, so that if you see a 115 Coral Street address, that means the person is using the Homeless Lack of Services Center at 115 Coral Street as their place to pick up mail, and is likely that they are homeless. I can't think of anyone who isn't homeless who uses that address, but I suppose it could be, but it's not usual. But the police records that were given to Glover don't show that. Instead, they use the words transient and then the other word fixed address without giving addresses, and with the kind of the coy implication, we want to protect the privacy of these people. Well, in fact, if you ask the police department for public records in a normal Public Records Act request for these kinds of things, unless you're talking about a minor or some very special case, it's not private information. A person who gets a ticket, it's public information. There's a reason for that, because the police department is acting on your behalf, supposedly. And therefore, the only people who really keep an eye on the police department are you. The so-called Internal Affairs or Professional Standards Division of the police, which is supposed to be watching, is, of course, a very bad joke. It doesn't prosecute police. It doesn't expose them. You can't even see what the disciplinary consequences, if any, are. And it's rarely fines against the police, even when we had those records. And when we had a sort of a also semi-joke Citizens Police Review Board, when it tried to be more than a joke, it was immediately disbanded by the city council under then Vice Mayor Matthews. Actually, I think she was simply on the council, but not vice mayor. But she was there. She was a supporter of eliminating police review. And that was way back in 2003. Continuing with this flyer, Deputy Chief Martinez publicly lied to the Public Safety Committee on July 1st that police regularly supply rides to nighttime shelter for those requesting them, rather than giving them tickets or demanding they leave with all their stuff where they're at, but giving them no place to go, which would be a pretty obvious violation of the spirit, if not the letter, of the Martin versus Boise Ninth Circuit Court decision, which says no tickets for sleeping and camping and such ordinances without there being a shelter that you can take them to, and not just that particular person and on one particular night, but generally there has to be shelter for people in the city who want it. And that it doesn't exist. Since that doesn't exist, you're not supposed to be enforcing those laws. You're supposed to be leaving those people alone. And so what Martinez said he did when he was asked, well, what do you do if you come across someone that you had a complaint about, or police officer decides to look squirrely-eyed at the particular person, doesn't want them there in that particular location, regards them as suspicious, you know, what do you do? And Martinez said, oh, well, we offer them a ride to a shelter. First of all, shelters don't take rides at night for people. They have waiting lists, they have barriers, and they often are full. So And also, there are no records of police actually doing this, and he couldn't cite any records. But he insisted it was happening. So, got to tell you there, Martinez, you're a liar on this issue, or you are have access to facts that you're not revealing. And it's depressing because these kinds of misstatements badly impact people who are far more vulnerable than you, and there are people that you should be protecting, not using as protective cover to defend bad police policies. Continuing, the mysterious investigation of Councilmember Glover is still being kept under wraps. That's a proposal, but that's something about his bullying the mayor, or you know, acting uncivilly at city council or some such thing. When in fact, it's simply when he speaks baldly about what's happening there, and makes it clear in a public way, and that's it's not very diplomatic, but it goes straight to the heart of the issue. And when he does it, I'm very happy to hear it. Because it leans at last, at least briefly, you get a taste of truth at city council. The trouble is often Glover doesn't follow up on this stuff because he doesn't want to further his reputation as a bad boy on the city council, and he's afraid of unclear consequences. One example is this investigation, another is the recall, but you can't be afraid of that. You can't act, you can be afraid of it, but you can't act on that fear if you want to represent your constituency. And he hasn't talked about this investigation because he said the city attorney has told him not to, and he hasn't gone to any other attorney to get a second opinion on that, or simply said, sorry, my responsibility as a council member is to speak openly about these issues, and I intend to do that. No matter how many times you bring it up in closed session and say, hey, we brought it up in closed sessions, you can't talk about it. Sorry, that is not going to stop me from letting the constituency know what's happening. The phony catch housed advising homeless committee. That's the latest group that was created by the city council to research homeless issues and deal with problems of homelessness. And essentially, as far as I can see, talk things to death as they've done on numerous occasions instead of acting on a rather obvious pressing issues like the need for emergency shelter, the need for bathrooms. Instead, they're just going to talk about it. And there are some people who are sincere activists and advocates who believe that somehow it's just a matter of proposing the right and the rational solution, and then things will fall into line. Rafa is one guy like that. He's one of the activists who comes to the Conscience in Action and Huff meetings. He's, I think, Nutcracker Nick White is another who believes this. But, you know, I don't know. I think this is a matter of trying to be civil and overly civil to people who deserve, need to be exposed for what they're doing and what they're not doing, and not being treated with kid gloves. These are powerful people in positions of power who need to be given, you know, a punch in the gut on these issues. They need to be given the real glare of publicity needs to be shined on their misdeeds. And it doesn't need to be soft-pedaled. And it's kind of ironic my saying that, because you're going to hear me soft-pedaling stuff to Watkins, for which I'm going to apologize repeatedly probably throughout this. Anyway, continuing this flyer as my kind of preface to the Watkins interview, the phony CATCH, Housed Advising Homeless Committee. CATCH is an acronym for Committee to something-something Homelessness. On June 22nd is the Matthews-Cummings excuse for avoiding specific measures such as emergency campgrounds, bathroom restoration, RV facilities, and police reform with little progressive dissent. In other words, progressives aren't saying, hold it, we can't do this. Instead, they're keeping their mouths shut, too, during this last month of vacation that we've had in July, when there have been no council meetings. Tenants are facing immediate eviction as progressive council majority, so-called majority isn't really a majority, Cummings is just not there most of the time, allows endless chatter and delay even about the process of gathering landlord data, which, as I said before, is due to come back as a discussion the first council meeting in August. But there's no data that's actually coming back on that date, just a discussion of how to get to the data. It seems to me you put out You make it a mandatory requirement that landlords provide some basic information to the city, and that's that. You know, and then you get it, and you penalize those who don't give it. And then you assemble it and you make it public. I mean, what's the problem, folks? I don't know. Anyway, so I suggest people demand City Council act before its August recess, by the which I meant July recess, that's a slight typo there, to address the visible tenant and homeless crisis with emergency action for those so threatened, to include an immediate restoration of last year's rent freeze and just eviction protections, as well as areas with parking, sleeping, and sanitation facilities. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, pretty required. And also support community resistance by supporting rent strikes, homeless encampments, direct aid, and other meaningful immediate actions. I put out this flyer July 11th, and you can find it on the table at the Food Not Bombs weekend meals, 4 to 6, outside the main post office. And let's take a musical break before diving into the Watkins interview.
Hello, I'm Senator Elizabeth Warren. Thank you for that wild enthusiasm. Now, I would like to begin by addressing my Native American ancestry. As you know, tests have proven that I am 1/1024% Native American, which basically means that my great-great-grandmother once rented dances with wolves. And now, I'd like to read to you from my new book, Angry Progressive Nursery Rhymes. Now, we don't call them Mother Goose, we call them an appreciated primary caregiver goose. You may laugh. This is how I got tenure. This old man, Roger Stone, told a lie as he was prone. With a knick-knack paddywagon, give the man a bone. A prison cell will be his new home. Nursery rhyme number two. Trumpty Dumpty wanted a wall, but Trumpty Dumpty made a bad call. Make it 12 feet tall, 'cause security matters. So Mexico's building 13-foot ladders. And finally, little Bo Peep has lost her speech. Mitch McConnell said she had talked plenty, but she won't be deterred, and they'll all eat their words when she wins in 2020. Thank you.
Hello, I am Pete Buttigieg, and I can say hello in 7 different languages.
Hello, I'm Amy Klobuchar.
I hear that you are hell to work for, and I have been to war.
Hello, I'm Cory Booker High. Since Mayor Pete has all the juice, why should I even try?
Aloha, I'm Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, aren't you the one who's homophobic?
Well, Pete can go to
hello. I'm Castro, I'm a twin. So on election day, make sure you vote for me, not him.
Hello, I'm Jill O'Brien, let's meet. If not for me, Al Franken still would occupy a Senate seat.
Hello, vote Harris, smarts, and class. I cannot wait for the debate, I'll kick the Donald's ass.
Who's that? That looks like AOC.
I'm not a candidate, I'm here 'cause you can't get enough of me.
Hello, on next election day, you can say no to Donald Trump and choose a better way. Just go down to your polling place and put an X next to my face.
You know you want to vote for me.
And that was two from the Lion Kings, that's L-Y-I-N, apostrophe, Lion Kings, capital steps. You know, it's a recitation of all the, or some of the Democrats running. I think there are more than 20, and they only let the top 20 get to talk on national TV. And then the previous number is Green Date. Not entirely clear on the rationale for that one. Anyway, we're going to bounce right into the Watkins interview, and I will try to keep myself in check so you can actually hear Martine's answers. That's Martine Watkins, mayor of Santa Cruz.